Welcome to the second season of the North American Francophone Podcast, hosted by me, Dr. Claire-Marie Brisson, and recorded live in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In this episode, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what you may have missed between the last episode that I published at the end of 2020 and now in December 2022. I'd like to first thank all of my loyal supporters and listeners for waiting so long for this second season of the podcast. It's very meaningful for me to talk to you today about the podcast because, in essence, the time that I wasn't recording was the most busy in my life. I went from defending my dissertation to starting a new job and seeing how different members of the Francophonie in North America have engaged who were on the podcast in the 2020 season, now in 2022, in new ways. Well, let's think a little bit about how I started the podcast. Back in November 2019, I was sitting on my couch and I was looking at Microsoft Word. And if this is the first podcast episode you're listening to, you might not know that at the time I was a doctoral student at the University of Virginia. And I remember when I was looking at that Microsoft Word file of my dissertation, I said to myself, who's going to be reading this? Is it just me? Is it going to be the members of my committee? How long will this take to become a book? And as a person who has multiple things always circling through my mind at any given point in the day, I looked at that and I said, this is just disappointing at this point. I mean, I'm excited that I'm writing my dissertation, but I'm really sad that nobody in the community is able to take a look at it. And so on my couch, I Googled, how do I start a podcast? Where do I begin? What platforms can I use? How do I even start a website for this podcast? And in one night, I started a podcast. If you go back into the vault of podcast episodes, you'll see that my first podcast episodes were about a cookbook that I found that was published here in North America for the first time that represented the Franco-American community in Canada. New Canadian recipes for a completely different set of ingredients that were available in North America to people who had come here from France. Now, this was an interesting launch to a whole series of interviews and discussions and even some of my own reflections about what the Francophonie meant, past, present, and also future. But it wasn't just these conversations and these interactions that I wanted to have on the podcast. I also wanted the podcast to sort of feed my dissertation and vice versa. So as I was a doctoral student working on my dissertation, all of a sudden, boom, March 2020 happened. And I think that when I mention March 2020 at this point, everybody can figure out what I'm going to be talking about. So I don't even need to say too much about that, but COVID. And I was participating in a course, a hybrid course that brought students for an alternative spring break to a part of campus that's a little bit away from the center and the heart of University of Virginia's campus. It's called Morven Farm. And we were working together, we were design thinking together, we were working on projects that were more or less exciting and engaging for engineering students, a little bit outside of the realm of French studies, of course. I always like to do 10 different things at once, as I mentioned. But I was with engineering students and we were working together, and all of a sudden the news hit that we no longer were going back to campus after spring break. We no longer were going to have the same kind of communal connections that we had between students and teachers, between peers on campus. And all of a sudden, I realized how important the podcast was for me, not only as an intellectual, but as somebody who values connections in general with people within the academy, but also within communities. And so when I returned home from that alternative spring break, I sat back down on the same couch and I said, wow, I think I've established something here that will maintain some kind of connectivity between myself and the Francophone community during this lockdown. And that was really challenging for me because I'm somebody who I value learning about other people. I value about learning about their place and their space within the conversations about the Francophone world in North America and beyond. But all of a sudden, the doors are closed, the planes, the flights are all canceled, and nothing is happening as it was before. And because of that, I started engaging with new members of the community that I hadn't quite met before in a virtual format. So starting from March 2020 onwards, the podcast became a little journey for myself, but also a journey for the community to connect and reconnect members who maybe knew one another, who maybe didn't know one another, and engage in dialogues about what it meant to be part of this Francophone community. Beyond that, recording these episodes in English allowed for an entirely different set of listeners to experience the Francophone world and these Francophone communities in a new way. The entire goal of the podcast was to realize that, yes, most of the stuff that I was working with, the articles, the archival research, the documents, and community members, most of this that I was working with was in French. And a lot of the stories, a lot of the history of, say, the Acadian deportation, of the multifaceted and multi-layered realities of Louisianan identity, of the French existence past and present in the Great Lakes region, all of this combined to a history that was known in French, but maybe not so much in English. So on the one hand, I was connecting with community members. On the other hand, I was translating a lot of stories into English from French that, for the first time, was accessible in the English language. And on top of all of this, and in the background, I was locked in my apartment. I was unable to leave my apartment. I was supposed to be going to Canada to access the archives. I was supposed to be having meaningful in-person connections with archivists, with people who were really engaged in these conversations before, but then all of a sudden the doors shut. And that's really difficult if you think about back in November 2019, I was already feeling a little bit like a hermit in front of Microsoft Word writing that dissertation. Then all of a sudden, on top of that, you have COVID lockdowns and the lack of access to the community. And that is certainly something that many scholars who were researching during that period had to face, was that we could at one point engage, and then we had to disengage. We had to separate ourselves from the community, and we had to take a step back and think about what intersections still exist when you don't have face-to-face interaction, when you don't have the opportunity to hold an archival document. It's very interesting to think about. But during that time, I was engaged more than ever with people across a great amount of mileage talking about Francophone topics in new ways, from perspectives across borders, across state lines, and in cities that I had never visited, or that I had visited many years ago. It helped me to discover and to rediscover what it meant to be Franco-American. That's a term I didn't have when I was growing up in Michigan. I grew up in Dearborn, Michigan. I grew up with the idea that there was an identity somewhere behind all of the other things I was experiencing as a child and as a young adult. But it was only until I started doing the North American Francophone podcast when I realized what that term really meant and how it applied to my own life and how it applied to being someone who grew up in Michigan, but also shared an experience that was similar to that of people I met in Louisiana, or people I met in New England, or even people I met in the rest of Canada, outside of Quebec, in New Brunswick, people with Acadian ancestry. This was really interesting to me. And as I finally reached the approach where I was saying, okay, we're on final descent, we're about to do the dissertation defense, this is July 2021, I became more and more and more informed about the community that all of a sudden the dissertation went from just being about archival research and archival resources and books to including community voices. And in that way, the North American Francophone podcast has woven a new sense of that identity into the very fabric of what I do. Now, you might say, okay, this is fine, this is great, interesting story, Claire Marie, but what does this all mean? Well, I defended the dissertation on July 26, 2021, and at that point I was living in Charlottesville, Virginia. I had been recording the season one of the North American Francophone podcast, often from my couch, often from inside my car. You really have to work with different environments that have less noise, that doesn't have, you know, as many interactions with, say, for example, car horns or flights passing overhead or somebody yelling randomly as possible. So I tried to find quiet spaces, quiet places to talk to you all. And then I had to say, well, I'm packing this all up and I'm traveling up to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I'm going to have to change my recording studio into another couch meets living room chat with you, but in a completely different place with completely different resources and a completely different title. Once I defended the dissertation, I was no longer a doctoral candidate. I had a doctorate. And I was accepting a job of a, quote, preceptor here in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was a transition between thinking about ideas, bringing those ideas to a dissertation, defending those ideas, and then transitioning those ideas from a written work of 320 pages into something different. But that's taken some time. The reason why the North American Francophone podcast didn't have a continuation, as one would have imagined, is because of the work that I faced in that transition. It's one thing to move to a completely new city on one's own. It's another thing to completely invent two courses from scratch upon arriving in that new place. And once I arrived here, I had to invent two courses without any material given to me, with two vague ideas of what I wanted those courses to look like. One was about media, which makes sense being a podcaster, and one was about film. And so instead of dedicating the time I wanted to the community, I had to dedicate my time to a new set of community members, my students at Harvard University. I created new plans. I worked through lesson planning, thinking about what it meant to teach about podcasting rather than doing it. I thought about what it meant to choose films for a film course rather than enjoying them myself, although I did enjoy them as I was picking them for the course. But that, all of that aside, the center of my life became my students, became the community, became what I had to do in this new role. And after having spent 5 years being the student, being the doctoral student, being a doctoral candidate, working towards a dissertation, all of a sudden, my life had to veer in a completely different direction. And that was interesting for me. That was a challenge as much as it was exciting. But in the back of my mind loomed, don't you want to record another podcast for the North American Francophone podcast? Wouldn't it be great to do something else? And yes, I really, really wanted to all of that time. But unfortunately, each podcast episode in the past has taken me roughly 6 hours to do, especially if I was interviewing someone. So it just wasn't feasible with the amount of work I was doing. In the end, between the time that I last produced the North American Francophone podcast to now, I have created course material for 3 courses at Harvard at the intermediate and advanced levels. But what's even more exciting is that I've taken the same ideas and transformed them into a course. Many of you may be listening to the North American Francophone podcast for the first time because you learned about my course or you've seen something along the lines of the discovery of the French language in North America at Harvard. And what's going on with this? Well, I knew that the North American Francophone podcast fed the dissertation. I knew that there were a lot of community members doing incredible things across North America and beyond. And so when I was coming up with my 3rd course, which is an advanced French language course, I said, why not put all of this incredible community engagement, all of these interesting histories, and all of the possibilities for the future into one course? And this is called French 64. It's a course about the discovery of the French language in North America, but it's much more than just the discovery of the French language. It's this interesting intersection between history, culture, language, political engagement, civic engagement, and the intersections that exist between all of these ideas and the erasures that also exist when talking about these ideas. The first day of class, students arrived at Harvard University and made their way to Harvard Yard. They took a seat in my class, and I handed them a blank map of North America. And I said, okay, everybody, I'd like you to pair up with somebody, talk to them in French, and show me where Francophone areas are in North America, and maybe historically where you would have found Francophone areas, where French people were, where Creolophones were and are. Huh, They started scratching their heads. They looked at one another and they said, well, Quebec has to be somewhere. For some of them, they knew exactly where Quebec was. For others, I saw them wanting to pull out their phones and look at a map. I said, okay, no digital supports here. You have to locate Quebec on the map. You have to locate other areas on the map. And many students were very capable of finding places like Haiti or Quebec or even Louisiana. But outside of those three areas, they drew a blank, just like the rest of the map. And then I turned to a different slide on the PowerPoint and I said, all right, here's the map again. I want you all to come up with a dry erase marker and point out the areas that you indicated on your individual maps. And everyone came up, they were laughing, they were having a great time, but they realized that they knew very little about what it meant to be Francophone in North America. When I mentioned the term Creolophone, some students gave me looks like, what does that mean? When I mentioned other areas, when I mentioned historic areas like Acadia, students knew Acadia National Park, but not much else. So this was a mutual understanding that, yes, there were some things that students knew, but for a lot of it, it was discovery. And I think my students, and I want to thank my students, by the way, as an aside, if any of you are my students listening to this, thank you so much for your participation in this activity. But I think you, my students, or the listeners, those students, were able to think about all that they knew and face the fact that maybe they didn't know everything that they wanted to know. That's the scary reality of taking a class, is sometimes you're confronted by how much you don't know about a topic. But my students did a wonderful thing. They interpreted that lack of knowledge as a quest, and together we worked on the journey of understanding what the Francophone North American experience was, is, and what potentialities exist for Francophones today in North America. Beyond that, we looked at the communities that intersect Francophone communities, and some students made connections to their own realities, to their own lives. I had students who grew up speaking other languages in North America who had said that the Francophone experience in North America spoke more to their own experience as Spanish speakers, as Arabic speakers, as others who had existed speaking other languages and living with their own cultures here in North America. That North American Francophone experience spoke more to their experience than they had ever expected. And for students who were not American at all, this course gave them a new perspective, but also gave me a new perspective. I had a student who was from Kenya, who told me about all of the different tensions between languages in Kenya and beyond, just in Africa in general. I had no idea about the level of tensions, the numerous languages in conflict, the many languages that are in fear of being erased by major languages that exist in certain countries in Africa. And on the other hand, he told me how interesting it was to see the Francophone experience not only in New England, not only in Louisiana, not only in Canada, but as a subject he could compare with his own experience back home. That to me was an interesting and new experience. That was something I had never considered before, and thanks to the dialogues between my students, I was able to gain a new appreciation for what the North American Francophonie is and can be. In light of that, I want to invite you, my listeners, to participate in the second season of the North American Francophone podcast. Even if you're not Francophone, even if you don't consider yourself to be a part of the North American Francophonie, Franco-American, French-Canadian, Quebecois, Acadian, it doesn't matter if you are a part of the communities or just interested in the communities, I think that we can have some interesting discussions here on the podcast. So I'd like to open up that conversation to you. If you have something you'd like to share with me that either intersects the Francophone community here in North America or is in conversation with the Francophone community here in North America or is in parallel to our experience, send me an email. It's easy enough. You can go to thefrancophone.com, and from there, there's a button that says contact me. From that button, share your ideas, tell me what you're thinking, and I'll be glad to get in contact with you. If you want to as well, I have a Twitter account. It's at Claire M. Brisson. That's B-R-I-S-S-O-N. Send me a direct message and we can coordinate ideas. We can talk about how we can share those ideas here on the podcast. Because most importantly, please don't let my title, quote, preceptor in French at Harvard, end quote, stop you from contacting me. I find that a lot of people, when they hear I work at Harvard, they kind of take a step back. They say, well, I'm not good enough to engage in these conversations. I don't belong with somebody who's at such a prestigious institution. Yes, I understand that Harvard has prestige, and I think that the students at Harvard are wonderful, as is the academic community. But I want to open these conversations. I think that we need to have sharing. We need to realize that community needs to engage with academia. It needs to engage importantly with people like me. And that's not to say I'm in a higher position than anyone else. It says, come to the table. Let's talk. And I'd love to hear from you. So that's just a general opening. Where do I see the North American Francophone podcast going in the second season? Well, I'd like to invite more members of the community that I talked to in the first season to see how they're doing, what they've been doing, how they've been engaging with the community. And on top of that, inviting you to participate in these dialogues, and hopefully in the future, incorporate multi-invitee discussions. Imagine if we have somebody from Louisiana talking to somebody who speaks for the Acadian experience at the table with me virtually in this space known as the North American Francophone Podcast. That's what I would really like to see. Roundtable discussions in the English language, bringing to light all of the exciting, engaging, and necessary conversations we are currently having in the Francophonie here in North America. And also opening the idea again of what it means to be Francophone. A lot of times when I engage with people who say, yes, I work on Francophone studies, Francophone only means to some that you can speak French. This podcast is in English because we need to open those stories to a larger listenership and readership. We need to have conversations that open the idea of what Francophone studies means in English so that scholars of history can engage meaningfully with the discussions we have, and others can say, wow, well, this intersects exactly what I'm doing. So let's have those meaningful discussions. Let's engage the community that way. Finally, at the end of this podcast, I just want to thank my students at Harvard University. I had two great classes of French 64 this past semester. I'm currently grading their essays. I wish I could share them with you, but because of academic integrity, I can't. But thanks to you, my students, for having engaged with me, having talked with me about your ideas, because that is what it means essentially to have a North American Francophone dialogue. It's to engage community members from across disciplines, from across ideas, from across communities, and sit down and say, what does this mean? Who are these players? Who are these actors within the North American Francophone experience? So thank you to both sections of French 64. I really appreciate it. Finally, I'd like to make one more thanks. I'd like to thank Brian Thomas for the new piano piece, which is the new theme song for the North American Francophone podcast. That's an original composition, original song. And I'd like to thank him because now you can enjoy that piece of music every single time that you listen to the second season of the North American Francophone podcast. As always, if you want to engage with me, if you want to talk to me, you know where to find me, thefrancophone.com or on Twitter at Claire M. Brisson. I am always here to listen to your ideas. And thank you so much for supporting the North American Francophone podcast. À bientôt, and we'll talk soon.